goes by so quickly. You know, the reason why we have this outline is so that all the brothers and sisters can go home and review the verses. We've been talking about this matter for almost 2 years now, right? It's because, first of all, the scope of this priesthood is really very wide and very big. You cannot just talk about it and forget about it. In many things of the scriptures, maybe it's good enough just to have the knowledge. But when it comes to the matter of the priesthood, it's not a matter of just knowing it, but it's a matter of practicing it. Because if you don't practice it, then there's no point of even listening to it. Right? The priesthood is not for us to know, but for us to practice. And this is why the Lord did not give us any liberty to talk about any other things in this last couple of years. Right? Since the summer, since May of 2014 until today, it is over 2 years. And of course, because we, as Christians, not just us, but all of the believers in Christianity, we are not used to this. We are used to coming to the meetings without bringing anything, without any preparation, and without a concept of coming to keep the feast. You should realize that the Lord told His people 3 times a year they have to come to Jerusalem. To do what? To keep the feasts. In all the past 40-some years, I have hardly heard any message concerning the feasts. Perhaps only the matter of the Passover. Right? But really, to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. You know, we've been coming all the time, week after week, to the Lord's table. But very few of us, hardly any one of us, when we come to partake of this piece of unleavened bread, we are keeping the feast. Like what God told Moses, 6 days or even 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread, and then you must get rid of all the leaven that is in the house, so that no leaven can be found, not only in your pocket, but in your house. Right? And so, we don't have this concept. When I come to eat this piece of bread, Lord, I want to get rid of all the leaven that is in my heart. All the sin, the flesh, the malice, the wickedness. So many things that are still in our heart. But when we come to eat this bread, we just say, Lord, thank you for your body broken for us. Thank you, you died for me. Right? And that's it, mainly. But we don't realize that we are partaking of this wonderful, fine humanity of the Lord, so that we can get rid of all the leaven that is within our being. I don't think many people, believers, have this kind of concept within them. Right. And then to keep the feast of the first fruits, because Christ is the firstborn from among the dead, and this is really for the church. That's why Colossians says, with regards to the new creation, the church, Christ is the firstborn from among the dead, and we became the many brethren. Right. And in resurrection, the new man was brought forth. And we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. I think we don't have such a concept with a view that we ourselves will also become the first fruits in Revelation 14 for God's enjoyment. If only Christ alone is the first fruit, then God should already be satisfied there, right? But in Revelation chapter 14, it tells us that, hey, there is another group of first fruits which will be standing with the Lamb on the heavenly Mount Zion before the throne, raptured. So, especially today, in our time, we really have this opportunity to be the first fruits, because the first fruits there are the living believers, the living Christians. That means at the time of the Lord Jesus, when He came, when He returns, I mean, when He returns, they are still alive, but they are fully mature in life as the first fruits. Before the majority of the Christian matures, this first fruits will mature first. And this is what the Father wants, because God says the first fruits belong to me. That's what God says. And this is why in going to Jerusalem three times a year, you have to bring the first fruits to Jerusalem for God, as food for God to enjoy. All of these are these wonderful feasts for us to keep. And then, of course, the Feast of Pentecost, which refers to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. But most of the believers just have the concept of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when you think about Pentecost, what do you think? Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But if the Lord did not ascend to the throne, how can He pour out the Holy Spirit? No. And in His ascension, Psalm 68 says He led a train of captive foes. That means that in the ascension of Christ, we as the believers became His captives, because we were rebellious. You may be a very good man, outwardly, humanly speaking, but with regards to God, you don't care for Him. You're rebellious against God. People don't even believe in God. Romans says, the book of Romans chapter 5, before we were saved, we were enemies. We were enemies. Not just unbelievers. We were enemies. Right. So, what does it mean for you to be saved? Is it just that your sins were forgiven? Or you will no longer come under God's judgment? What else does it mean for you? You become a prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like what Paul says, Paul, a prisoner. Are you a prisoner? Or are you free? You want to be, that means you're still not. If you want to be, that means you're not. Well, there's no such thing as not enough. You mean to say one day a week you're in prison, the other 6 days you're free? No. Either you are locked up or you're free, right? So, it says in Psalms that He led this train of captive foes, because we were enemies before. But now we are His captives. And then it says particularly, even the rebellious ones, so that God could have His dwelling place built up with His formerly rebellious ones who were now given as gifts to Christ for the building up of his church. You know, if you are not a captive, you cannot build his church, because you can come and go as you like. If you're a prisoner, can you come and go as you like? I'm going to take a vacation, okay, warden? I'm going to take a 4 weeks vacation from prison. Can you do that? One day you tell the warden there, I'm tired of the prison. Sorry, I'm leaving. Can you do that? Can you? Or I don't like it anymore. Sorry. Goodbye. You will tell that prison keeper, goodbye. I'm leaving. Can you do that? No. No. Unless you break out. but the police will come knocking at your door. Wherever you are, they'll search for you. Right. We don't think about this. Maybe we better read to have an impression in Psalm 68, right? Because in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul was quoting Psalm 68. Yeah. Let us see where it is. I'm in 68. Okay, right. Verse what? 18. Oh, verse 18. Oh, okay, here. That's right. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there, or might have his dwelling place. Right. So here you can really see that in Psalm 68 it talks about the ascension of Christ. And Paul used this verse in Ephesians chapter 4. And when the Lord ascended, he led captivity captive. Praise the Lord. And have received gifts. The gifts are men, people. We are the gifts. But before we were gifts, we were rebellious ones. Rebellious. So you have received gifts among men, even the rebellious ones. Praise the Lord, because we were all rebellious. I don't know about you, but I was very rebellious. We're all rebellious. Maybe you're not, I don't know. You're also very, that makes two of us now. We're all rebellious. God says this, we say no. God says do that, we say no. God says don't do this, but we want to do it. We are exactly the opposite. Now in the Lord's ascension to the throne, he made all of us captives. Unfortunately, we don't realize this. We think we are free to do anything we like. And the Christians today do whatever they like. Sorry, but you cannot do whatever you like in the church life. If you're built in, you're built in. That door is going to stay there. Can I run away? That door is there, because it's built in. Once you're built in, you're built in. That's why the Lord says, he who overcomes, I will make him to be a pillar in the house of my God, in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. You know, there is a burger shop in California called In and Out. I always told the saints, we are not the In-N-Out burger here. After you eat the burger, you go out. You are hungry for burger, you come in, and after you got your burger, you say goodbye, you go out. In and out. Is the church an in and out in Fountain Valley? When you are happy, you're in. If you're unhappy, you are still in. Amen. That should be the right attitude. Right? So that will only be the case if you have seen that He is the Ascended One sitting on the throne today. I do what He says. I have no choice. So, we are keeping the Feast of the Pentecost. Right. And Ephesians says we are sitting with Him in the heavenlies. It's wonderful. Right. And we are under His authority, His rule. And this is what it meant to be under His rule. I cannot do what I want. You're your own boss, so you can do what you like. At least in the business, right? You can do whatever you like, but also not, right? Because there are certain things, even more so sometimes, right? But anyway, if you are working for somebody, you cannot say, this week I'm coming to work, boss. But next week, I'm not. I come next week. And then after that, I'm going to take off 1 month. You think your boss will keep you? Your boss will fire you, right? So we need to see much more so in the kingdom. The church is God's kingdom. And He is the King, sitting on the throne. Right. That is why many times I told my sister, sorry Shirley, I have no choice. Right? I can't do whatever I like. Right. So we all need to realize that, we are the priests who are consecrated. Amen. To keep the feast. And then you have the other three feasts, the Feast of the Trumpets, to blow the trumpets. You know, after the Lord ascended and poured out the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, trumpets began to be sounded by so many of the apostles and the saints. And the disciples of the Lord, everywhere they went, they sounded the silver trumpet. Do you have a trumpet? That's right. We got a wonderful trumpet here. You know, the blowing of a trumpet is a very strange instrument because it depends on your lips. If you don't know how to use your lips, you go... No sound will come out. Right? So, the trumpet, the real trumpet is this. We all have a wonderful trumpet to sound out the good news to people wherever we go. To keep the Feast of the Trumpets. Right. And why the silver trumpet? Because silver signifies redemption, salvation. We have to preach this gospel. Go to the whole world and preach the gospel. And disciples all nations. Today there are still so many people who need to listen to hear the gospel. Right. And then you need to keep the Feast of Atonement. Because before the Lord comes back, we need to be fully reconciled to Him. Yes, we are already reconciled by the death of Christ on the cross, but that's only the initial reconciliation. We still need to be fully reconciled, keeping the feast. Right. So when we come to the Lord's table, we need to have this concept of we are keeping the feasts of the atonement, to become fully one with God. And that is why in that Feast of the Atonement, everyone who doesn't afflict his soul will be cut off from God's people. Serious. This is the same as what the Lord said. If you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Carry up your cross and follow me. Otherwise, you cannot follow the Lord. Because you do whatever you like. If you do whatever you like and you do not afflict your souls, meaning to say deny what you like, what you think, what you desire, you deny your soul, then you can follow the Lord. Because many times the way of the Lord is not the way that you like. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are always higher than our thoughts. That's what Isaiah 55 says. Right. So many times what the Lord wants you to do is not what you want to do. And what the Lord doesn't want you to do is usually the things that you want to do. So you have to have that Feast of Atonement, the Day of Atonement, in the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. Right? And then the last feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of the Tabernacles, firstly, is to remind God's people that they have come out of Egypt. And while they are traveling on the way to the good land, they are dwelling in booths, tents. So for one whole week, at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, you can see the Jewish people all buying. Today, it's so easy, they don't have to pick up the leaves from the trees, beautiful leaves, and then to make a little booth in their front yard, right, and dwell in the booth. Why trees? Because the leaves are temporary, you know. If your house is made of leaves, it's not going to last very long, right? It's going to dry up and it's going to be gone. So that means everything is temporary. You're out of Egypt. You came out of Egypt. In Egypt, you dwell there. You can do a lot of wonderful things there. But when you're out of Egypt, you become a pilgrim. Right. That's why somebody read Hebrews 13 yesterday. We have no continuing city. Right, and so here, you need to keep that feast. You need to keep the Feast of Tabernacles because the Lord is coming. And this is actually the most important point of the Feast of Tabernacles is that the millennial kingdom is coming. That's why in Zechariah, the last chapter, you can really see that during the millennial kingdom, all the people of the nations, they must come. The nations must come to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. Yeah. So, all of this wonderful feast is in this table today, the Lord's table. Because the Lord's table comprises of the reality of all this feast. And this table, Christ is our Passover, is the feast of the unleavened bread. He is the first fruits. He is the ascended one who poured out the Spirit. We are keeping the feast of the Pentecost. And then in this temple, you show forth, you display the death of the Lord. You know, very strange. Sorry, I'm just sharing it this morning to you all to stir up your memories and your heart concerning this wonderful Lord's table, the true meaning of the Lord's table. We always thought the Lord's table are just for us, the believers, right? Yeah. So any unbelievers, come, please don't touch this table. And I've been telling some brothers there in Europe, why do you have to make that announcement? If you are not a believer, please let this bread and cup pass over you. That's a different Passover. Why do you have to say that? I would rather say, I wish you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ right at this very moment that you can enjoy this table with us instead of having a different kind of a Passover. We have our Passover and they have their Passover. It's crazy. And who are you displaying the death of the Lord to? If no unbelievers can come here and look what you're doing. As often as you do this, you display his death until you come. Do you need to? You already know about his death, right? You don't need that display for you mainly, right? It's not mainly for you. It must be a living testimony. Yeah. So we invite all the unbelievers to come to any meeting, but not at this meeting. So to whom are you going to display his death? It's the best time to tell the unbeliever because they will say, what is that? There's a mana. Manhu means what is that? That's the meaning of the word mana, okay? Mana means, in Hebrews, means manhu. Manhu means what is that? They didn't know what it is. So they were asking, what are you doing here? What is that? Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to share the gospel, what you're doing, right? Yes. Do you also want to eat that? You better receive the Lord right at this moment. And then after you eat that, we'll baptize you. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. It's a wonderful opportunity to tell the unbelieving friend what we are doing. Because that's what it's supposed to be. God told his people there so that the coming generation, your children, will ask you, what are you doing? Why are you celebrating a Passover? What is it? You tell them. Right? Change your concept. How about that? Right? We have to go on with the Lord to really forget about the past. Not that it was wrong, but it may not be adequate. We need to go on to perfection. And this is very important. Otherwise, you'll be doing the same thing all over again and again, and at the end it becomes a routine and you have no more feeling. And then, of course, during the time of the feast, you cannot come empty-handed. This is what God told his people. All the male of the nation, of the people of Israel, must come, but not empty-handed. That means you have to come with the first fruits. You have to come with the firstborn of the cattle. Right? You have to bring your offerings here. The best of the best, it says. The best of the first fruits belongs to the Lord. You have to do that. But we don't have that concept. In the past, everywhere you come, not with an offering, you come with a songbook. Yeah. Yeah, you say, I didn't come empty-handed, I brought my songbook. No, you bring the offerings, a burned offering to the Father, the firstborn of every cattle, be it of the herd, right, or of the sheep, or, right, the goats, or even a turtle dove. Yep. You need to bring something for the Father. But we never have this concept. So everybody came to the meeting unprepared, bringing nothing. You're just sitting there, waiting. Waiting for what? For somebody to call a song. And so at the end, we'll be singing and singing and singing for one whole hour. Why do you need to sing, sing, sing 1 hour and then you break bread? Why? I told the saints, you know, when the Lord had the first breaking of bread with the disciples, no singing, only at the end, one song. And the Lord didn't say so much. He just took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and says, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Took the cup, blessed it, and that's it. And they all eat, and that was the end of the Lord's table. So simple. Right. But of course, through the word now, we see that, hey, the feast. So when we come to the meeting, we need to remember we are keeping a feast here and all of these seven feasts. And then we have to remember what the Lord says. We have to bring the offerings to worship the Father. You know, although this concept was not new, because the brethren, since the time of the brethren, they already saw this point. That is why the traditional teaching is that we have two sections in the Lord's table. One is remembering the Lord, and then the second part is worshiping the Father, right? I think all the older ones remember this, right? Catherine, isn't it true? How do we break the bread and remember the Lord? Well, by singing and singing and singing and more singing. And how do we worship the Father? By singing again, one or two songs. Poor Father, you only get two songs. And the Lord Jesus get 15 songs. I don't know how many. But that's how we had the Lord's table. And nobody brought any offering to the Father. For how many decades amongst us? And John chapter 4 says, the Father is seeking for the true worshipers. Well, did he find it amongst us? And some people were even offended. John says the Father has not found any true worshipers yet. Well, I don't know what to say, but it doesn't really matter, right? But I hope amongst us we can be the true worshipers. Amen. To bring the offerings to the Father. Right. This is what God wants. And this is the job, really, of the priesthood, to deal with the offerings. Now, for this, we come to the last point. By the way, we need more time concerning the consecration, right? Remember, firstly, you need a bull for the sin offering. Then you need a ram for the burnt offering. Then you need another ram for the consecration offering. And part of the ram of the consecration is burned to the Father as the burnt offering. And another part is for the consecration, like a peace offering, right? And Moses, and of course you're Moses, but Moses, there was a special person at that time. He got the breast, and Aaron and his sons got the heave, shoulder, right, the thigh, and then they all must eat the unleavened bread together with the rest of the flesh. And it has to be repeated 7 days. That means the consecration has to be complete. Okay. Get into it. Amen. Don't just think the message is good enough. No, get into the Word. Get into the Word. Now, the services of the priests. A, we said here, to draw near to God in the sanctuary. Now let us turn quickly to Ezekiel. According to the book of Ezekiel, the temple here, beginning in Ezekiel 44, is the third temple. The temple that will be built for the people of Israel, for the Jews, because they were the earthly people. And when the Lord comes back, He is going to rule in Jerusalem. Then at that time, the earthly Jerusalem will again be used by the Lord. Today, we are building the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay. Now, in verse 14, verse 15 and 16. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. Praise the Lord. The rest of the Levites, they cannot come to the Lord. Right, here the Lord said in verse 10, and the Levites who went far from me, when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquities. Right, yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, but only in the outer court there as gatekeepers of the house. And ministers of the house, they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifices of the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they minister to them before their idols and cause the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord, that they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near me to minister to me as priests, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations, which they have committed. You see, when the Lord comes back, even among the Jews, the Lord made such a difference. And don't think that the Lord will not make such a difference for us as His heavenly people. That is why you can really see when the Lord comes back, only the overcoming ones, the faithful ones, the first fruits, they will enter into the kingdom. Right? Just like the 10 wise virgins, the 5 wise virgins, they enter into the wedding. But the other 5, they cannot enter in. So don't think that when the Lord comes back, everything will be all right. No. Right. So you can really see today the priesthood, one of the most wonderful privilege of being a priest is to come near to Him. To come near to Him is a privilege. The rest can only serve. Yeah, you can serve, but you can serve in many other things, outward things. You know, when I was young, I read a small booklet from Watchman Nee. It's a very small booklet. It's just very small. And that booklet was entitled Service to the House or You're Serving the Lord. There are 2 services. So in the house, you can do a lot of service. Yes, which needs to be done. But there is a better part of the service is when you serve the Lord Himself directly. This is even much better. You know, the Lord went into the house of Lazarus, right? You remember Mary and what? Mary and Martha. One is so busy serving so many things, right? And he forgot the Lord. Of course, if you're so busy with so many things, you have no time to spend with the Lord, right? And Mary was not doing so much, but she was just sitting there right at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to the Lord. Which service do you prefer? Which service? Who got the best part? Mary got the best part. So you can really see the best part is when you can enter into the Holy of Holies to behold the face of the Lord, to be in His presence, to hear Him, to listen to Him. And then to bring food to satisfy Him, to serve Him right there, to bring Him the fat that He desires, the riches that He desires. Right? So you can really see today the priesthood is so important. But like I said right from the very beginning, God's intention is for the whole nation to be a nation of priests. Then it was reduced to only the Levites because they all went after idols, the golden calf. And then from the Levites, at the end, only the descendants of Zadok. One household, one family. Today, in principle, it's the same. Actually, God's desire is for all of His people to be the priest, a kingdom of priests. But they lost it. And today, nobody thinks about it. Right? If I ask a Christian, what is your profession? Nobody will tell me the priest. I'm a priest, apart from the Roman Catholic priest. But they are not the real priest. So, praise the Lord, right? The priests are those who really could come to the presence of God and have the fellowship with Him, right? To really see Him face to face. This is really a wonderful privilege, just like Moses. You remember Aaron and Miriam, right? They complain about Moses, right? So God spoke for Moses, hey, to other prophets I speak in the dark, but to this man Moses, I speak to him face to face. That was Moses' privilege, right? So you can really see, to really come into the throne here, before the throne of grace, to really have this fellowship with God, it is a wonderful privilege. Don't be so busy doing things for the Lord that you have no more time to spend with Him. Today, the way into the Holy of Holies is free. But how many went in there to spend time with the Lord? Right? Now, one of the very important things in a priesthood is the sanctuary, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. This is the place where the priests spend most of their time. Right? So, the sanctuary, the church, the proper real church life is not according to what we, our concept is. No. No. In order to understand this, let us read Exodus chapter 25. Before Exodus 25, let us just briefly, right, in a few minutes, go first to Hebrews chapter 9. Right. Hebrews chapter 9, it says here, then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service. Actually, divine service there means a divine worship. We use the word service today, you know, but really it is the worship. And the earthly sanctuary, that means that you cannot just worship in your bathroom, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your car. People say, well, today in the New Covenant, I can worship anywhere. Well, I'm taking a walk, I can worship God. No, you can pray, but you worship? No, you need to worship in Jerusalem, it says. Right? And so, the word here says, then indeed, even the first covenant has ordinances. That means much more than New Covenant. The word even means that, hey, the New Covenant much more so. If in the Old Covenant God gave them the ordinances for worship, how much more today? You think God will not tell you how to worship Him today? Right? So even the first covenant, that means more so the second covenant, or? Am I right? English is not my mother tongue, right? It must be your mother tongue. Isn't that what it means? Right? Am I right? But I heard a lot of people say, we don't need that today. Well, why not? Right? So, and even an earthly sanctuary. So today there is a heavenly sanctuary. for a tabernacle was prepared. The first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called a sanctuary, the holy place. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all, which has a golden censer and the Ark of Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were a golden pot that had a manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of covenant. And above it were a cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seats. Of these things we cannot now speak in details. That means there's a lot of things to talk about it. Of course, also now we cannot speak in details. Because time is up. Time is up. But then it says here, now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services, but into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself first, right, and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. Now verse 8 is important. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that means that earthly tabernacle meant something very important, that the Holy Spirit wants to tell you something. If you don't see this earthly tabernacle with all of its ordinances, you will not know what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you and how to worship today in the days of the New Covenant. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the Holy of Holies was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. Because it is still the days of the Old Covenant. Now, you need to realize what the Holy Spirit is telling us through this first tabernacle. Because the heavenly tabernacle is exactly the same. Because the earthly tabernacle is made by Moses fully according to the heavenly pattern. So you cannot say that we don't need that anymore, forget about it. And well, how are you going to know the heavenly tabernacle if you neglect the earthly tabernacle that was built according to the heavenly tabernacle? Right? So praise the Lord. If you have a blueprint drawn by your architect according to your concept, how you want it to be, right? Then when it was built, it must be fully according to that what you want, right? Yeah, it has to be. Praise the Lord. So Moses was building a model according to what the heavenly pattern is. Now, do you think when the Lord is building his church today, it is much different than what Moses built as a model? You tell me. You're going to be an architect soon. The model that Moses have constructed was fully according to the heavenly reality. Because the Lord told him very seriously, see to it that you build according to what you have seen. So that means that tabernacle that Moses built in a smaller scale was exactly the same. Now you're going to tell me, forget about this, we don't need that anymore, and we are going to build a church. How? In spirit. How in spirit? You mean to say when you're in spirit, you can just do anything you like and it's okay? That's good enough. We can have our pause.